Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Hi, this is Tom Meglia, financial planner and financial coach. How are you this Saturday? Hope you're having a great day. Let's see, what is the date today? Saturday, 17th of September, 2 p.m. Awesome. How you doing? Financial planner, financial coach, Tom Meglia. Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. Every Saturday we have a half-hour program. When I say we, I'm always bringing up my wife, Julie, because she's part of me, part of what we do. Appreciate her help and support. And it's just great. I love talking about finances and God's economy. And that's what we do. I've been a financial counselor for 27 years. Boy, going on 28 years. It has been a long road, but it's fun. And the name of the program, again, is Knowing the Economy of God. And before we get into all the program and what I'm talking about today, I'd like to just give a couple of credits to those that helped me. And one of them is Bonnie Moore of Monrovia, California. That's her music you're hearing. And she's a great harpist. Her website is bonnieharpsong.com. BonnieHarpsong.com. If you'd like to hear more about her music or get her to play at your event or church sometime, BonnieHarpsong.com. And the website for myself, Tom Meglia, financial planner, is TheEconomyOfGod.com. That's TheEconomyOfGod.com. And the reason the program is titled Knowing the Economy of God is because I believe that God does have his own economy that he has created, his own economic and business and financial systems that he has made, he has created, he has designed. They're not mine. I'm just relaying as a messenger and a planner some of God's principles, some of God's thoughts, some of God's thinking that comes straight from the Bible, straight from the Word of God, to help people manage his financial resources for his glory and for the servant and steward's usage while they're on earth, and to bless them too. Bless us as stewards and servants for God. So that's what the economy of God is all about. And I went through the Bible head to toe. Genesis through the book of Revelation. And I believe that God has allowed me to pull out and extract various financial principles and to teach people this is what they are. And as a Crown financial ministry coach, I'm able to put them into practice. In fact, this afternoon I'm meeting with someone about their finances, and they were referred by Crown Financial Ministries out of Georgia. And so we're working together this afternoon to get a budget going, to get a financial game plan going. But the key is not my advice. The key is God's advice, things that come from the Lord, the Word, the Bible. So I'm trying to help people, and that's what's fun. I enjoy people. People are great. And so we're using God's Word, God's Scriptures. And in God's economy, I've said this for the last 6 weeks, there are four anchor principles to understanding just what is, in fact, the economy of God. And those four anchor principles are, number one, God is the one and true owner of everything. Our assets are owned by God, us included, our talents. Number two, anchor principle, we're the steward. If God is the owner, that makes us the role of the servant or manager, the steward of what does not belong to us but does belong to God. And number three, the first and natural order of stewardship is to be a cheerful giver, a solid giving garden hose, I call it. To be a giver and spray the water all over to where God wants us to. And fourth, we need to learn and be content. And contentment is the key for Christians. It's a big time key. That's why it's anchor number four in understanding God's economy. Now today, we're back on ownership. We just can't get off ownership. It's amazing. Because again, if we're not putting God first and realizing that God is the owner of all of our assets, everything we have to manage, then we're making a big mistake. We're in sin. We are not doing what God would want us to do. And that's why a lot of people have financial problems. And even people with lots of money can still have financial problems. It's not just someone who's in debt and can't make it even check to check, too much month at the end of the money, that are having problems and are in sin. It could be someone who is well-to-do and they still are having a lot of financial issues and problems. So what we do here is talk about the Bible. Let's get right to the verses and let's talk about, as a reminder, of just what God says about His Word and why He's the owner and how we're not the owner. So that's the key, is to cite the Scriptures first and draw the principles from it secondly, okay? And as we talk about God being the owner, we also refer to what does it look like when I'm managing things properly that would emulate God being the owner, and then also what are some of the things that would show in my life or your life where God isn't the owner. He's not being demonstrated as the owner. And we'll talk again, as we did last week, about coveting and what it's like to covet and what does it mean to covet and why that's the opposite of God being the owner. So here's some great verses. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, for He founded it upon the oceans and established it upon the waters. Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord. Incredible. Proverbs 22:2, I threw in the incredible. That's not the verse. Proverbs 22:2, the rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. 1 Chronicles 29:11 and 12, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Everything that is in the heavens and earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Great verses. That says God's the owner, not us. Now, last week we talked about coveting. We just introduced it. I just introduced it as a concept because it's a tough area for people and their finances. People get in a debt and a lot of trouble, even in riches, a lot of trouble because of coveting. And since coveting is one of the things that are opposite of God being the owner, it's one of the things that we look to ourselves as owner, why we covet, we bring into play some of the verses there too. And in Exodus, it talks about the Ten Commandments. Very important, the Ten Commandments. They're famous, right? Well, what do they say? What do they mean? Well, you'll find the Ten Commandments, first of all, in Exodus 20, verse 1 through 17. Okay? The Lord says right in the first verse, you shall have no other gods before me. That is a key thing. And then it runs down in verse 2, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. So God is saying, no gods before me, and I'm a jealous God. And then we go down and list the commandments, and we look, and it says through the verses here, it says, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Coveting is a big-time issue for people. I've seen it. I've seen it for many, many years, 27 going on 28. And one of the reasons it's a big problem is because the reason people covet is they put things ahead of God. They're putting things ahead of the Lord. They want something very, very badly, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get it. And oftentimes that willing to do to get something causes huge financial issues. Those financial issues in turn cause relationship issues. That's why many, many marriages break down and other kinds of relationships due to money issues. And many of the money issues or sins or problems are determined, the reason that they happen is determined through want, coveting, jealousy, envy, that kind of thing. So as we run up to a break, we'll just bring up a couple of more economic principles. And that is that God is the owner. We are to surrender control, surrender ownership to God, because He is the one and truly only owner. So we need to give up control. We need to give up the ownership issues. We are not in control. And many times people battle with these things all their lives. So it's important that the economic principle here is that we are trying to keep control and ownership. We must not do that. God can give us, He does demand the right to our accounting at some point of what we've done. Okay, his ownership of all things gives Him the right to demand accountability from us. Okay, so it's important that we remember that we are not in control. We must not covet. And I'd like to get to a story after the break about someone I've been working with. And we changed the name, of course, and the situation a little bit. But in essence, it's the same as to how coveting was the root reason or sin to his financial problem. So after the break, we'll get into that. Okay, so hang with us. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the program. And we'll talk to you after the break.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Okay, welcome back. We will now talk more about coveting in a particular situation and how to learn how to apply God's principles to our normal and everyday life to honor God and to do better in our finances. So I think it's very important. But first, we need to remember that God's economy works differently than anything a person or government could create. All right? No system created by man or any culture has been established or works like God's does. His ways aren't our ways, as Isaiah tells us. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. That's in the book of Isaiah 55, I believe it's 9 and 10. So we need to remember that God will bless us, but those blessings may not be tangible. They may be intangible. Either way, obedience brings on blessings. So it's important that we learn a major lesson, and that's about envy, coveting, and jealousy. As a financial counselor and advisor, many people I work with make financial mistakes because of coveting and envy and jealousy. What starts in the heart snowballs into long-lasting problems. And a lot of these problems manifest themselves in financial or money issues, money ways. And the simplest and most normal common way we've seen that is keeping up with the Joneses. Someone has something I want. The dictionary defines jealousy as being disposed to suspect rivalry or unfaithfulness. Envy is defined in Webster's as malice, begrudging somebody, or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another person, and the desire to possess that same advantage. I brought up Cain and Abel last week. Well, you know, Abel's offering was acceptable to God, and Cain's wasn't. Cain resented Abel and killed him. He envied the reward, coveted the reward God gave Abel, and that was the root part of the sin that Cain had towards Abel. You know, God isn't opposed to us owning things, having things, experiencing wealth, But you know what? He's opposed to that being our God and being in front of him as our one and true Lord. So that's the thing. God is a jealous God, Exodus said. He's against us having anything in the way. And when we're opposed to all these things, that starts us down the road of a big problem. Okay, so that's very, very important. And that's where the heart is. The heart is where the seeds are planted. The heart is the dirt. The seeds are planted in the heart, and that's when they begin festering and begin growing into resentment and coveting and wanting things we should not have. So it's a very, very big issue when we look to coveting. And that's why I'm saying as a financial planner, other planners feel this way too, that it's not just what people do with their money, looking at their checkbook. Oh, where did you spend the money? Where are the problems? Is it pets? Is it too many clothes, vacations? What is it? Buying a home you couldn't have afforded in the first place, wanting toys. Those are just symptoms. What's behind that or underneath it is the big issue. Coveting is a key thing. It's basically saying, God, you're not my God. I am. I want this, and nothing's going to stop me from getting it. I've got to have this toy, this supersized car, estate, whatever. And nothing can get in that way because it means so much. It means so much to a person. They not only need to keep up with the Joneses, they have to surpass the Joneses. It's not just what you see driving down the street. You know, oh, that neighbor has a new car. I'm going to top them. I'm going to get something a little bit better and top them. You know, it's the reasons that are underneath that that get people into trouble. You can look at someone's financial spending, their budget, their spending record. Lots of red flags at times. And it's like, where do those red flags come from? What's behind those red flags? So it's very, very important that we understand what we're spending and why and where the money is going. It says a lot about what's in someone's mind and their heart. You look at what people do with their finances and the reasons they do what they do, and that tells volumes about what's going on in their mind. And who is the Almighty God? Them being their own mini God or the Lord. And that's why we need to look at what we do. It's easy to say, oh yeah, Tom, I already know this. God's the owner. But when you look at someone's finances, you examine their money. Money means a lot to people. Jesus spoke over half of his parables on finances and money issues because the Lord knows that the money issue, the money thing, is so close to people's hearts and their self-esteem, their representation of themselves, that kind of thing. That's why coveting is a key issue. Coveting anything. But in our talk, our conversation, it's about finances. And that's where a lot of people say in their credit cards, well, look at the credit card statement. What did you buy? Oh, I wanted this. I wanted that. How come? And you start finding out the reasons and motivations. So let me bring up a fella named Mike. Now, like that old show Dragnet, the names and places were changed to protect the innocent, right? Remember that show on TV? When I was young, we watched that sometimes, and I thought that was interesting. So let's throw the Dragnet over Mike for a minute, okay? 32, single, spends like crazy, makes a lot of money, but he is in the fast lane, and he wants things. He told me, Tom, my dad never thought I could do this. And I said, well, do what? And he says, my dad never thought I could be a millionaire at 32. And I wanted to show him. And I want to have everything he has and more. So he had a lot of stuff going on between him and his father. And I said, well, first of all, why are you trying to outpace your dad? What is the motive here? What's going on? He just basically said, you know, Tom, when I was young, I just felt like my dad didn't think I could do anything. And he thought that I wouldn't make it as a person. I was a mess up in high school, and I wanted to show him. I just wanted to show him I could make as much as he has and have what he has and all these things, trying to prove everything to his father. And he really did well. Mike's very successful. He's a successful business person in a large company, and no doubt he's been given talents and gifts, and he's made a lot of money. He's done well. He has over $1 million net worth. But the motive for doing all that was to impress his dad. He wanted to, this Mike person wanted to show everybody out there what he could do. He wants the fast car, the beautiful home, and he did. He's outpaced his friends. He's outpaced his parents. It gave him a lot of esteem. And he is a born-again Christian, great guy, loves the Lord, but he's got some issues he needed to work on. And one of the problems that he's faced recently is he's gotten into debt. He's run up a lot of credit cards. Now his job bonuses and commissions have started to falter and fail him a little bit. So things have caught up to him. So now he's in some problems and some trouble. That's why he called me. He got referred to me by some other friends and clients. And he said, you know, I'm in a mess and things aren't happening like they were. And what are we going to do? So he wanted the fast solution. Remember, Mike lives in the fast lane. So that's kind of where he was at. But no, you won't get that here. There's no fast solution with Tom Meglia's financial planning. We've got to have a situation where we create a game plan, a financial and estate game plan. But that game plan needs to be rooted in God's word, in God's love, God's spirit. And then we'll get to, here's some things you need to do. We'll set up a budget, set up a financial plan for retirement, that kind of thing. But he was starting to borrow off his home way too much, rolling over equity loans, line of credits, all this kind of thing. And what Mike needed to do first was find out why all of this happened. It wasn't just the job changing, the bonuses and commissions falling off. Lot more to it than that. A lot of it was based on Mike's own self-esteem equals net worth, self-power equals financial power. The more he had, the more he flaunted. Well, I think God was saying to him, Mike, because I love you, I'm going to discipline you. Because you're my child, I'm going to teach you a few things. Things you need to know and things you need to learn. I think that's what God was doing. And people like myself were saying, Mike, all of these things are not sins. It's not a sin to own a home and a nice car. That's not what we're saying. But you're putting all of your self-esteem in it, proving to everyone, especially your folks, you know, hey, look at me. I'm giving myself lots of accolades, pats on the back. And you didn't when I was growing up, so now I'm going to make up for it. Well, that kind of thing isn't working. And I think Mike's realizing now that he is making some changes. He's starting to learn. He's starting to see God's word in practical reality, because God's word is real and practical for today. The Bible does have the answers for today's living, especially in the area of finances and money. So we're starting to talk about Mike's role and some of these past things that have been happening. We're working on a budget. We're working on a game plan for credit cards and debt and not borrowing off his 401k to pay bills, that kind of thing. You know, throwing money at fires, putting out fires with the water. So things are working for Mike. We're starting to turn things around a little bit. Is it hard? Yeah. He's not finished. He's a work in progress. It's going to take some time. But we are getting there. I pray with Mike at the end of our appointments. I think he's starting to grow up in the Lord in many ways. I think he's maturing as a Christian. He'll be the first to admit that, and that's fine. So the more humble and broken he's getting, the more God is gaining room in Mike's heart and Mike's soul. So listen, I'm going to let you run. Give me a call, 800-386-3700. If you're driving around, drive careful. And I'm Tom Meglia, financial planner. If you'd like to learn about how to put God's economy to work in your financial life and create a plan, put a plan that's biblically based, give me a ring. 800-386-3700. You can hear this program on the website and also past programs if you've missed them. TheEconomyOfGod.com. Hopefully you're better at the computer than I am. I'm not the greatest at pulling up all this stuff. You're probably better than I am, but there's a link to go to the website to go to the shows, the programs, theeconomyofgod.com. And again, my number, 800-386-3700. Have a great week. We'll catch up with you next Saturday. Again, it's financial coach Tom Meglia, 800-386-3700. Take care.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. God.